Blog Talk Radio.
Are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on this Truth Ministry platform on Blog Talk Radio. So it's good to be here. We thank God that we are in the land of the living. We've been blessed of the Lord, as of his mercies. We are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, saith the writer Jeremiah in his Lamentations. And I concur with that. It had not been for the Lord who was on our side. So we thank God that we are here. We'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and our Instagram followers. Again, we say welcome to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear when no fear was, for God hath scattered them, the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were gone, will come out of Zion when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So that's out of the 53rd Psalm. And then also it's virtually the same Psalm in the 14th Psalm, starting off saying the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we thank God that we are here again on Blog Talk Radio with Truth Ministry. And so it's a blessing to be able to look into the Word of God. Everybody don't know, as the song says, who Jesus is. And so that is our endeavor, to preach him and teach him. So we're not preaching ourselves, but we preach Christ the Lord, as Apostle Paul said. And so there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is his letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. So he's encouraged them to let them know about their position, about how much God thought of the Gentiles, that we should be fellow heirs of the same body, knowing that after his conversion, he said he's going to send them far hence to the Gentiles, and he had to go before the kings and the children of Israel, and he was going to show him, that is, Saul of Tarsus, who he made the Apostle Paul, how great things he must suffer for the Lord's Jesus Christ's sake. So we just thank God that we are able to be here on another session of Truth on Block Talk Radio. So we had been talking about end time signs, and actually this is part 20 of the end time signs. And so our ongoing theme, the Godhead. So everybody don't know about his eternal power and Godhead, which is only in three places in the Bible: Book of Romans, the Book of Acts, and Colossians. So in him, that is, in Christ Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. So thank God that there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his son, saying there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So everybody don't know that he is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He prepared himself a body. He came in the volume of the book, as he said, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So we have been talking about end time signs. Like I said, we had just so much information, just more and more. And let's say, over the years, we have been taught about end time signs, but there are, when you dig deeper, there are even more and more, because the more you look into the perfect law of liberty, you're going to find you more information, because you can't exhaust the word of God. St. John 5:39, that's what Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they. He's talking about the scriptures, he said, which testify of me. So before we get going good here, we're here on August the 20th, 2019 at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And should you be listening to this broadcast live, should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome. Our guest call-in number, if you would like to express yourself on the subject that we are talking about, then you can do so, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 is our call-in number. So like I was saying, so we've always known that they asked him a question, what's going to be the sign of his coming, the end of the world, you know, when these things are going to be. And Matthew 24, Luke 21, Luke 17, Mark 13. Then as we go on, I remember when I was teaching, and then I thought, like, John didn't write about end times, but he did. He wrote in his epistles about Antichrist coming and about the end time and about every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh is Antichrist. And he was saying that spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. Then he was saying, you know, he let people know, he was talking about Antichrist. He said, ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So a lot of times we quote that, but what he was making reference to is because they had overcome Antichrist. The reason why he was writing that when he was saying, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So that was back then when John was writing. So he goes on, verse 4, 1 John 4, and 4 ye of God, little children, and overcome and have overcome them. So the previous subject, what he is talking about, is Antichrist. And so he says, you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we want to be continuing on today with end time signs. And so we talked about a lot of things about Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, the time will come, and they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to heat them to themselves, teaching teachers having itching ears, and turn away from the truth under fables. Somewhere along that, I'm just paraphrasing, out of, I believe, the second book of Timothy. So today we want to go on here. We're talking about, for I know this, that after my departure, my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so this is found in the 20th chapter of Acts. So he says, take heed unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so this is what we want to talk about, chime in on today. These are definitely end time signs, because people are not delighting themselves in the truth. You know, like the scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23 and 23. Also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So people are not, Jesus said that he was the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, in the 14th chapter of St. John. And then in the 8th chapter, go back, he was saying that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the thing is, if you know the truth, it's going to make you free of false doctrine, because you're not going to buy nothing else. So a lot of stuff people are saying, that a lot of people don't understand the statement when the Lord made mention about raising up Pharaoh to show his power. So it's not that he agreed with Pharaoh. Even now, you know, all of this stuff that's going on in D.C., people don't understand. God is letting people do, you know, show their heart, but God is still in charge. Because Pharaoh thought he was bad. I mean, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice, what Pharaoh said? He said a lot of things. Only one time, I believe, he said, bless me also. But the point being is, what God is letting people to know is that it doesn't matter. You know, Pharaoh got a hard heart, and I can turn his heart. So he let him go, and Moses, the man of God, opened up the Red Sea. And so, I mean, when you really think about it, what was they thinking? What was Pharaoh and his army thinking to go down in the Red Sea? You see water, a wall of water on either side when the Lord sent the east wind. So you got to think, okay, so the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, and the water is not going to stay, the Red Sea is not going to stay open, in other words. But you can be so arrogant, you can't see, you're blind, you can't see. That's pretty much what happened, because you got to have common sense. That was a miracle. So like we say, even now, the same water that saved the children of Israel destroyed their enemies. So it is the same water that saves us destroys our enemies. The 6th chapter of Romans. We're planted together in the likeness of his death. We too shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that he should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. So we rise to walk in the newness of life. Like Peter was talking about the world was saved by water. And he was saying, the like figure doth also now save us, not to putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's going into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. So the point is, like he said, what they're saved by water. So in other words, what makes the virtue in the water is when the name of Jesus is called. And that's what Ananias did say to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he went to him in Acts the 9th chapter. 3 days later, he was blind when he had went to street called Straight. And so he was blind, and they sent unto him, somebody called him a little unknown preacher, the late Ross Perry Paddock said. So when he came to him 3 days later, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee, that thou mightest receive thy sight. So he said, why tarriest thou? In another testimony that he was given, arise, wash away thy sins. How are you going to do that? Calling on the name of the Lord. That's talking about baptism. So that name has to be called. And so here, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go unto Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as was about, he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater and Berea, and the Thessalonians, and Aristastus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus and of Asia, Tychius and Tryphimus. These going before tarried for us at Troth. Now Luke is the writer here. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto Troth in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a man, a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep, fell down from the third loft, and was taken up. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Why trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread, taken, and had talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. So in other words, they were comforted a whole lot. So that's biblical terminology. And we went before to ship, sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene, and we sailed thence and came into the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigillium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it had been possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sailed to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, for from the first day that after I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So he goes on here, he's testifying, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears, temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. So they see they didn't have churches, buildings like we have now. I mean, they would go into synagogues because he was trying to convince the Jews about that they weren't still under the law. So it was a new and living way, but they wouldn't receive it. Testifying both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus. our Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that a bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, why? Behold, I know that all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, and I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so he goes on, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so he goes on here, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. So that's he's saying the same thing. Among you, I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every man night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's another thing, like I was talking about, that so-called sow a seed lie, because money has never been a seed. And so you cannot buy a blessing. So that is the lie that people keep coming up with. No, if someone, and there are needs that arise, maybe organizational wise or the local church assembly, whatever the need be, if somebody has a need and you have to contribute to the need, you're blessed, because everybody don't have. Because I remember one time years ago, there was a certain amount of money, like back in the 90s, they were asking for at this particular church in Michigan. Everybody didn't have that kind of money to give. So, I mean, you have to. It's a reality check. Back then, they didn't have it. So everybody is different. So, you know, like the tithe of everyone is different, but it's the tenth of their increase, you know, tenth of their growth. Then they give a free will offering. But everybody, this particular thing, this pledge they wanted, or a certain amount of money, which was hundreds, everyone did not have it. And they didn't have to feel bad that they didn't have it. Because if you have it, just like he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So, because they don't have it to give, you can't condemn them because they don't have it. And so you're blessed if you already have it. So he goes on here, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spake, which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They accompanied him into the ship. So, and then not only that, so you go on here, so that's not good, what he had to tell them. Because how did he know that? That God had to show him that, you know, because people are just caught up. And, I mean, it's evident the Corinthian church. They're saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. And he said, who then are they? So, but ministers by whom you believe. So people are cut. So somebody, some said, I'm of Christ. So in other words, there ain't nobody talking to them but the Lord himself. They're really in bad shape because he committed this ministry into the hands of men, and it's proof. Peter was the man that had the power and the authority. That's called the keys. So he had to get there to open up the door on the day of Pentecost, and then to the Samaritans and to Cornelius' house. And then Apostle Paul had got saved in the 9th chapter. So by the time you get to the 19th chapter, he was passing through the upper coast in Ephesus and found them certain disciples, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said they had hadn't much more heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So what baptism were you baptized, he asked them. So he laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and baptized. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was about 12 people at that particular time. So Aquila and Priscilla took aside a man who was eloquent, mighty in the scriptures, knowing only the baptism of John in the 18th chapter of Acts, and his name was Apollos. And so actually after they got done, he only knew the baptism of John, but the scripture said he was eloquent in the scripture. So he mightily convinced, they explained to Aquila and Priscilla, explained unto him the way of God more perfectly. And they said, then the writer goes on to say, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, that Jesus was Christ. So he got a revelation. So this is what this is. It's the spirit that quickened it. St. John 6:63, the flesh don't profit in nothing. That Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what Paul said. That I received this by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is not man's wisdom, but the power of the Holy Ghost and demonstration that our faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And so all these soothsayers, these intellectuals, this is what God was talking about back in the Old Testament. And then in the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, it said, glory in this, that Jeremiah 9:24, that he knoweth me. So don't glory in what you know and your might and what you have and all that. That's what people are doing today. You know who I am and this, that, and the other. No, like you, what you are is a minister by whom people are believing is the attitude to have, because Apostle Paul was a very lone man, a learned man, just like he said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He didn't say not any wise. So he was an exception. He was a wise man. He was a wise master builder. I mean, that's why he wrote Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And he prayed that great prayer in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. Forget exactly where it starts. Then the 20th verse, when he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church. So it's about him. It is not about us. So that's what's so disturbing. Like I said before, I've been in here since 1976. I sat under the best teachers. At that time, when I got saved, we went to, in the council in Michigan, the Northern District Council, because I'd just been in Florida a little less than 3 years. But I was in the Northern District Council in Michigan at that time when I got saved as a young minister. The late former presiding bishop Paddock was the diocesan bishop over Michigan. He was a master teacher. He was a direct connection to the first presiding bishop, late presiding bishop Garfield Thomas Haywood. He was the direct connection. So they were perfectionists. So they taught us with perfection. And I mean, all of those. I mean, we sat under good teaching and good preaching. So we're standing on their shoulders, we say. And that's what a good man of God would do, or a good woman of God would do. You remember where you came from. You realize those that who taught you, you refer back to them, because you didn't get it on your own, but it was taught. That's what the scripture says. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, or some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. So that's in the Ephesians 4:11. And I don't know where that ends up at, but we were taught. So that's why it's in me, because I was taught, because you don't learn this on your own. You don't get the revelation of the oneness of Jesus on your own, but you got to be taught the scriptures. And so it was with Apostle Paul. That's what he went to Arabia. And he was out in the Arabian desert for 3 years and before he wrote to the church at Galatia. And so what was he doing? He was out there with the scriptures, and the Lord revealed himself to him. So this is what he was saying. He was letting them know. There's an end time sign too. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So that's the whole point. That's a lot of this foolishness that these people are preaching. They are preaching themselves. You know, some say they got to recreate themselves and all that. That's foolishness. Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He didn't say he had to reproduce himself. That's foolishness. But I'm walking with God, so you follow me. So as you know, you be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, I believe. So say what the word says. That was my father in the gospel. Say what God said. That's what he would say. So he's right. And that was his joy. That was his delight. We would have our ministers' meetings. We would have our Bible classes. When they would give us scriptures, we would talk back, give the scriptures back that he taught us. He knew we were getting it. Just like a father teaching his children. So it was a great delight. And so I thank God for that, because you need it nowadays. Here we are with this foolishness. I'm not scared. I am not scared of nobody, because I can defend it. So I don't care what someone's title is. You're not going to. Jesus said his word trumps everybody. Just like I said, I used to say, I worked at GM for 30 years, and sometimes you have to go over people's heads. So we would go to the plant chairman sometimes, the plant manager rather. The chairman was the chairman of the union, the plant. But sometimes, because we had access, because these people were friendly, they would walk around, they would talk to people. So I knew the plant manager. So sometimes we wanted to know something, we just ask him. That means he's the head of everybody in there, at that local General Motors location. So you have access to him. You went over everybody's head, and it don't matter who don't like it, because there's no rule saying you can't go over heads. So it is in the church. We can go over heads. We do go over heads, because we talk to God himself. So the thing is, Jesus said, that was one of the things that he said, take heed. And a lot of people, I don't care who don't like it, that no man deceive you. So people are coming up with their own philosophy, their own way that they're doing things aside from what the word of God says, and therein lies the problem. If you don't do what he say, you want to do it your way, just like it was pointed out to us about Israel. They got how they got messed up because they walked in their own way, like they were saying, you know, your own way is, you know, there's my way and your way, they say, and the truth. And so your own way can get you messed up. So you got to follow in the truth. So that's what he was saying. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So now they're coming up with this lie about health and wealth. I mean, everybody, I mean, just like one of our late bishops pointed out, he was saying the dead in Christ. I mean, everybody is not, some sicknesses are unto death. Everybody is not going to live. And if the Lord tarries, everyone is not going to live until the coming of the Lord. Apostle Paul wrote it, says, we which are alive and remain, we shall not all sleep, when he wrote to the Corinthian church in the 15th chapter, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. So everybody's going to be changed, whether you're dead in Christ or whether you're alive in Christ. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. So we have to understand what the word of God say. So he goes on here talking about another gospel. That's so-called health and wellness stuff. And so God don't want you to be sick. God don't want you to be poor. No, I mean, God blesses people, but that is a lie. That, you know, we can add to our quality of life if we take care of ourselves. And so even some of the older saints in the 30s and 40s and whenever, they was against everything. They didn't even do no exercise. You just sit eating grease, you know, fried chicken, fried whatever. You're eating bad, then that's no good for you. You ain't doing no exercise. You know, some people died in the pulpit preaching because they just is too big or too out of shape. You know, all that stuff. I mean, your body is your body. God made us to be, as we say, like those mobile phones are mobile. He made man to be mobile. Those people way back in the Bible days, they did a lot of exercising. They walked a lot of different places. They raised their own food. They did a lot of things. They were mobile. So you take care of yourself, you add to your quality of life. Some people's lives are shortened. I mean, so it's so much in the world. There's so much contamination. There's so many signals in the air. I mean, there's so many, you know, used to be, like we say, where there are spirits, yeah, we could, you know, there's so much evil and all in the world, but global warming and all that stuff, whether we like it or not, it's true. There's so many sound waves, so many signals and all in the air. Everybody and their brother and mother and father and grands and whoever. Virtually everyone has a mobile phone. I mean, wireless. That is a lot of signals and stuff in the air. There's things that are happening. The government is putting additives in our food to prolong it, prolong the shelf life. You know, everything that's supposed to be organic may not be. And, I mean, you got people doing all kinds of things. And so they don't want, like they said, some folks have literally figured out a cure for a lot of things, but the medical field, they don't want a cure for everything. I mean, they don't have a job. So they want sick people. Like somebody had, there's a picture, had a bunch of medicine and a bunch of fruit. I had that on my Facebook, said. So they said, the one with all the medicine, they said sick care. And the one with all the fruits and vegetables, they said health care. And that's the gist of it. So they don't want that. And so this whole thing is, you know, everybody talking about sowing a seed, and money is not a seed, like I said, and I will not move from it. A seed is your inheritance. A seed is a seed that's literally planted. And a seed, as Jesus said, is the word of God. So the good man, the Son of Man planted the good seed. And so analogy that Isaiah was given in the 55th chapter, he says, as the snow and the rain cometh down from heaven to make the earth to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So that somebody pick that up and try to act like that's a seed. That's money. No, it ain't. That he said it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He was making an analogy. So in other words, literal snow, literal rain, literal seed the farmer plants to give bread to the eater, the analogy, grow wheat to make bread. And so he says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish the thing I sent it and prosper in that which I please. He just gave an analogy. So I remember somebody picking that up years ago. He gives seed to the sower. Money ain't no seed. Now, sure, you reap and sow. You give a gift. But money is not a seed, and it doesn't matter who don't like it. So he goes on here. So that's that prosperity gospel. You know, it's another gospel, which Paul said, which is not another, but there'll be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So he goes on, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Question, question. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He goes on to say, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about when he was out in the Arabian desert. Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, and mine own nation being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, that's what I'm talking about, the Arabia desert, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. What was they doing? Going over the scriptures, making sure they all had the same thing. But although the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and the Cilicia. It was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, making no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. They who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So Apostle Paul had to flex his muscles here because he realized who he was. So, but you got to realize he always gave the glory to God. Contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's the Jews, was committed unto me, and the gospel of that's the Gentiles, rather, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. So that's the Jews, the circumcision. He that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me, there it is, toward the Gentiles. They the uncircumcision. When James and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. Now, I just read about the poor. Just like he said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said in the 20th chapter of Acts, he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Before that certain came to James, he did eat with the Gentiles. When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, who are that's the Jews. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinner of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even so, we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? A question? The answer? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So we have to understand what he's talking about here. So he goes back talking about Abraham. You know, they're telling the Galatians, who bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Behold, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or abiding to hear in of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? No. That's the question. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministered to you the spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we know he is the father of faith. So he makes reference to him in the fourth chapter of Romans when he says, talking about being not weak in faith, you know, he considered not himself, talking about the deadness of Sarah's womb in the fourth chapter of Romans when he's talking about our father Abraham. And so he goes on here about him being justified. So he says, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, but before him he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and call it through those things that be not as though they were. So he goes on here. This is what I want to get to. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Because, you know, he was 99 years old. He was about 100. The writer goes on to say, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. So how are you going to do that? Through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So Paul goes on to say, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. So we got to realize this is the gospel of the grace of God. And so there's so much going on in the world, and people are getting into perverse things, and people are leaving the truth. And as we had mentioned some of the earlier lessons, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, and that in the latter times. So I submit to you, we are in the latter times. So I've been in here for 43 years, and they've been talking about the last days when I came in August 1976. Oh, it sure enough is the last days now. The world is going crazy. Men marrying men, women marrying women. Just, you know, like this one professor, the late Peter Jennings, asked him on New Year's Eve in 1999, what would you like to see happen in the new millennium. I believe this is a black professor at Harvard University. He said that judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. And when he said that, I knew, like that was in the book of Amos. So that's exactly what's going on. Judgment is running down as waters, righteousness as a mighty stream. People are being judged. The cover is being pulled off. But on the other hand, God is mighty to save. So all we got to do is let go of our pride. So it's that. What's so? It's a simple gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he's pouring out his spirit upon flesh, all flesh. So Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That is the promise of the Father that he was writing about the first chapter of Acts, which said, he ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's when they came together and they was asking the Lord in the sixth chapter of the first chapter, the sixth verse of the first chapter of Acts, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I think I made mention on that on last week. He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, I mean, he's given us the plan. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Oh, I see. You cannot perceive it. But you got to be born of water and of the Spirit to enter in to the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, he said, is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. When Nicodemus had asked them that question, how can a man enter into his mother's womb when he is old? So he's saying, marvel not that I say unto thee, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the rest that Isaiah is writing. This is the rest and the refreshing. Stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So we know Israel didn't enter in because of unbelief. And the Hebrew writer says the same thing. And so he talks about it in the 95th Psalm. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so that's why the Hebrew writer says, so we see, talking about Israel, they could not enter in because of unbelief. That is one of the worst sins in the world. And so God called Israel. So that's Romans 11:29, one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. People, because they quoted wrong. They say, gifts and callings come without repentance. No, the subject is Israel, starting in the 10th verse. So that's his prayer and desire for Israel, as they might be saved. He goes on in the 11th chapter, you know, how they're God, what God thought of them. So he didn't conclude them all in unbelief. He's got a remnant left. That's why he was saying, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God called Israel. God gave them the oracles of God, and he's not going to repent or change his mind about Israel. So they are on hold. Now it's the time of the Gentiles. So in the meantime, a whole lot of other stuff. We know Judaism is what they got delivered from. Judaism, they did believe in one God. They were a monotheism. So they definitely believed in one God. So I'm told there's 4,200 religions in the world. So you got Islam, you got Judaism, you got Buddhism, you got Hinduism, you got all kinds of stuff started. You know, you got the Mormons, which was the so-called Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, that started in 1830 by Joseph Smith, a so-called revelation that an angel told him to seek God for wisdom. I mean, so that's they're running away with that lie. So that is false. Then you got Catholicism, you know, the Holy Trinity. That is a dirty lie because there's no three. There's only one, you know, in the body of Christ. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. Actually, like I said on last time, he is the prophet. He is the priest right now, whoever liveth to make intercession, and he shall be king. So he got three distinct offices that he must fulfill: prophet, priest, and king. So, I mean, which in his times, 1 Timothy 6:15, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, king of kings and lord of lords. That's going to come. So they're going to see those wounds in his hands during the tribulation period. So we are in the last times. People are just falling out for foolishness. This is your time. This is your season. Well, I say there is truth. We always, as people, there is a time and a season for everything. Everybody's not on the same spiritual level. We all going through different things at different times. Some people are in their winter season. Some people are in their fall season. Some people are in their spring season, their resurrection season. That's the springtime when things resurrect. So people are in different seasons. But the thing of it is, it's not we preaching all of this stuff. God is going to do this. God is going to do that. Yeah, God is going to do exactly what he said. He told us to seek him and his kingdom, all these things to be added. That is truth. He can't lie. And so the thing is, what's wrong with the world? They're serving mammon, which is money. Just like Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. So people, that's why Paul was saying, the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Because he went on to say, God's given us richly all things to enjoy. You know, we should be ready to distribute. So in other words, we should be willing to help someone else. So definitely, nothing wrong with that. Most people want to help somebody else. You got to consider yourself, especially those that are of the household of faith. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we're living in the last days, and there's so much to go to this. So this is what Paul was telling Timothy, and I didn't get to that. My time is almost gone on this evening. I see here some more things that I wanted to get when he told of Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teaching having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. So he said, watch thou on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I'm never to be offered. So he was going to Nero's chopping block. For the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. So that's what we got to do. We got to stay with the Lord. Don't go off into some crazy stuff. This is the truth. You know, there ain't no so-called Hebrews, you know, found out who we were and all that. That's foolishness. I mean, a real Jew know who they are. So that's, you know, like a real Jew. So it doesn't matter about that. But your heart got to be right. So it's you're one inwardly, whose praise is not of men but of God in the book of Romans. So that is not important, you know, what people are doing. But what's important to believe the gospel. That's what's important. So that's why I asked you the question, as I've all like to say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That is imperative. That is paramount. That's what you need. Amen. So we thank God for the word on this evening. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry, TRUTHMINISTRY, 5525 at att.net. Truthministry, 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. We'll see you on next time. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?